I cannot believe that Liberty lost to Reed this weekend. 35-31, Reed beats Liberty. On the other hand, I can absolutely believe that Palo Verde didn't put up much of a fight against Gorman. 45-7, state championship, Gorman versus Liberty. I know there were Gorman versus Reed, excuse me. I wanted that game so bad I'm even saying it. I know there were circumstances in Liberty's loss. We're going to get to all that just after we remind you that this podcast is brought to you by the Zero Teen Fatalities Program. Zero may not be a good number for your football team, but it's the only acceptable number when it comes to teen fatalities on Nevada's roads. Be a zero. Always buckle up. Watch out for pedestrians. And don't drive distracted. I'm Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer.
Speaking of distracted, Liberty. I tell everybody, thinks I'm crazy, Case. I am not crazy. I understand how it works. It is very tough for a team from Las Vegas to get on a bus, travel on that bus to hell, hell being Reno, to get off the bus, to sleep in a strange hotel, to get off, to play in the cold, and to beat a team. And Liberty is 100 times better than Reed. I have no doubt in my mind. Maybe 100 is too high, but they are better than Reed. If that game's played down here, I think Liberty wins big. But Liberty, in addition to having to beat Reed, they had to accomplish all these other things, and they clearly couldn't get it done. Not to make excuses, they had a bus that went down in Tonopah, from what I hear. Half of the team got to Reno at 9, the other part about an hour later. You don't get a chance to practice. The kids are all wound up from the trip, maybe sleeping on the bus. It's just a tough hill to climb, tough cross to bear. And then Liberty doesn't play its best, obviously. Reed scores on virtually every possession, and Reed is the one that advances to face Gorman 35-31.
Yeah, you were running me down on everything that went wrong with getting up there, and it was like, it didn't even sound real. It sounded like a sitcom. Their bus broke down, then they could only get one good bus, so they brought the starters on one bus and bussed everyone else on the one that was still broken. They had to wait there. I think they were missing a coach because his wife was in labor. Just there was a lot of things that a lot of things they had to deal with, and I guess your theory was proven right.
Listen, I didn't wake up on the other side of the bed, Case Kiefer. Bottom line, tough to go to Reno, tough to play. I wish the school system would say, you know what, let's find a way, Clark County School District. Let's find a way to where we value winning enough to where we fly everybody up when they play in Reno. We're talking about the kid that qualifies in the cross country race, the girls tennis player, whoever it is. Forget about the pricing of the buses. Let's just get the kids up there. When I went to state in 94, we flew, the district flew you then. Granted, it was a smaller school base, but you got to fly. You got to get up there in time to prepare. It sucks to make it to state and not to be able to be at your best. Now, maybe that means in girls golf, we don't take, you know, the Division 1A 10th through 15th girls golfers that are shooting 120 and 18 holes. Maybe we make it to where you could only go to state if you're shooting 20 over par. I don't know what it is, but somehow we have to crunch the numbers to win. We're sending a Clark County School District football team up to Reno that they get there before 10 o'clock at night. Not to make excuses, Reed beat Liberty. Liberty defense, suspect all year, gave up a lot of points all year, and they didn't get the job done. But maybe if they got up there 12 hours earlier, they have a better chance.
Who's the golf powerhouse in town?
Not even sure. Coronado. But I'm saying the lower level. Pines has got a one girl on the golf team. The girl shoots a 120. Somehow she makes it to the state tournament. Now we got to get a bus and get this girl and her clubs on the bus with everybody else to get out there. She's not going to win state. Great. Yeah, great. It's a great experience. Hell yeah. That's what I'm about. Kids having good experiences. That's how we are. But part of having a good experience is getting there and having time to play. That's all I got.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. Shout out to Coronado, which has won the last three boys' golf state championships. The last distraction that I saved and didn't put in the earlier ramble because I know we're going to want to talk about it more. There was a lot of complaints, or I don't know what the right word is, at least a lot of discussion afterwards about the officiating. It sounded like Liberty maybe had like 15 penalties to 2 called on them. The biggest play of the game, kind of in looking backwards, was the play before Reed's game-winning touchdown. Liberty appeared to come up with an interception. The official right next to the play called it an interception. Liberty's defense ran off the field celebrating. But at last, it was overturned into an incomplete pass, and the ball hit the ground.
And the weird thing is Ethan Dudeau with the interception, freshman. I've known Ethan and his family forever. Great play. Got under the ball. It depends on – I've literally had like 4 or 5 emails with photos of the pass being – looking incomplete, video of the pass looking complete, or looking like it's an interception. So I don't know if it was an interception or not. There's no instant replay, obviously, in high school. It sucks for both Reed and Liberty that one the game has to come down to one play. If the initial call of an interception is upheld, then we're talking about Liberty Gorman.
Well, in fairness, Reed did score the next play, so Liberty still had a chance to stop him. Couldn't do it. I'll say this. You showed me a bunch of the pictures that got sent to you. Before you came in here, I watched the YouTube video a couple more times. And I love Liberty. I wanted to see Liberty Gorman.
We both love Liberty.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying this to be opposed to Liberty, but I'm not so sure it didn't hit the ground, especially with one photograph you showed me. And even the replay that is on the video that's making the rounds, it isn't like it's a slam dunk clean interception as it's titled. Like it looks like it could have hit the ground. Here's my problem with it though. How is it the guy that is at the 15, like the 25 yard line, the play was like 15 yards ahead. He's on the totally opposite sideline. He seems to be the guy that runs in and calls it off. It doesn't seem like it was his position to do so. The only two referees in the frame called it an interception. So I understand why Liberty's really upset. It didn't seem like it was that guy's place. And you mentioned high school football doesn't have instant replay. Obviously it doesn't. I don't know if this would have helped, because the video wasn't conclusive to begin with. But if the video isn't conclusive, then the original call has to stand.
Which was the interception.
Yeah, and the original call is the interception. So I'm not 100% sure they got it wrong. I think the ball very likely hit the ground. Honestly, like I said, not trying to antagonize Liberty folks. I think it might even be like 55-45 it hit the ground because of one still picture you showed me. But the call on the field was an interception.
And it sucks that we have to spend today talking about was it an interception or not. Instead of saying, okay, well, the kid that had the ball is just a freshman. He'll be heard from again. Liberty's got a lot of young talent. Brian Rowland comes to mind. Calvin Tubbs. Liberty will be back. They had a great year. Listen, with the exception of Jarvis Polo and Tyler Newman, they were a relatively young team. And we'll hear from them again. And let this, what could have been, fuel your fire to where you're not in this situation again. You know, have a stop at the beginning of the game. Don't have a turnover. Whatever it may be, don't be in that situation. So it sucks for Liberty. Our heart goes out to them. We can't tell on the video what happened. Part of me thinks it was a catch. The other part of me thinks it hit the ground. You kind of feel the same way. It's over with now. Don't let this hinder you in the offseason. You're right there. You've won 4 Sunrise titles in a row. Champions are made from January to August, not from August to December. See what you could do in the weight room. Get bigger, stronger, better, and hit the reset button and do it again next year.
Yeah, but I will tell you, and I agree with most of what you said.
All right, that's good. That's
I would have cut down on the cliches, the football coach cliches.
Well, that's just...
But other than that, I get your larger point. But I will tell you that I alluded to this at the top of the show, I'm extremely disappointed. Liberty was the only team in my mind that I gave, even if it was just a very infinitesimal chance. I thought they had a little teeny bit of a chance to challenge Gorman. If everything went right, I think they could have played him a good game. I don't think this at all about Reed. This pretty much ruins the state championship for me. I don't think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be entertaining. I don't think it's going to be even worth watching. I think Gorman will absolutely destroy this team, and it's too bad.
I also think that Reed is simply The Reed people are going to hate us, by the way, if they listen to this. But
well, you're happy about that.
Well, I hate Reno, yeah, of course. But tell me I'm not wrong. Reed, happy to be there. Reed, which lost 72-28 in 2011 to Gorman when Gorman had like 50-something at the break. I think Solomon passed for 6 first-half touchdowns, 7 first-half touchdowns, and 11. Reed, the ones that were crying and complaining that Gorman, they shouldn't have to play Gorman. I think Reed thinks that its state championship was beating Liberty, and they're going to come here and go through the motions. Is that true? Is that fair?
Perhaps. I will say.
Perhaps. Okay.
Well, and I will also say I have no problem with them considering Liberty their state championship.
Oh, I do.
I don't.
I do.
Why?
I mean, you want to beat the best. Gorman's the best.
That's a topic for now. They have absolutely no chance to beat Gorman.
No chance. No chance at all.
I thought it was cool.
One for the thumb. Get your
I think
fifth
it's fine.
Ring.
What the first year I was here, when Del Sol was declaring themselves the public school champions, mm-hmm. I have no problem with that. This is the same type of thing.
We did, but you thought that Liberty never had a chance at Gorman, right?
I mean, there's a chance. I mean, if they played 100 times, maybe they win once. Maybe.
Okay. Because I always thought, and this goes back 2 weeks, that Green Valley could score on Gorman. They couldn't stop Gorman, but I think they could score on him.
They could score on him, but they aren't beating him.
You could get Lopez in the shotgun with those four receivers.
But they aren't beating him.
If you score with them, I mean, if every time Gorman scores and you go ahead and score...
I don't think you're scoring every time against Gorman, though. Personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't dispute that after what Gorman did to Paolo. 45-7 Saturday in the Sunset Championship game. I had Paolo plus 24. I thought Paolo was going to be able to keep it close, Case. And Gorman really just loaded up and pounded at him. I think they threw the ball, don't quote me on this, 14 times, give or take. And it was just power running game, and they won. There's no doubt about it. They made a pretty good statement. Opening series, 5 plays, less than 2 minutes, touchdown, signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah, you made the comment earlier that the Reed people are going to hate us if they listen to this. Well, then they need to get thicker skinned, because if you listen to what I said last week, I was saying the exact same things about Palo Verde. I don't care if this is a rivalry. Not a big deal to me. They're going to get destroyed, and they got destroyed. It wasn't even close. Like you said, you were at the game, and I will say this also. I watched a little bit of the game on TV. I was a little disappointed. You saw me on this great rivalry. Everyone still cares so much about it. The stands, there weren't people in the stands.
Read the comment section of my story. Even the Gorman parents are calling out other parents and fans, asking where
were
you at?
Because like the first couple years I was here, and we go back to this a lot, but it did have that feel of a big game. And I mean, there was like standing room only. Every seat was taken. It just... I mean, when a team beats another team, I don't have the numbers in front of me that I had last week, but it was something like 114-30 over the last few mm-hmm. years. It's lost its luster, and I think that Saturday proved it.
Paolo had more people there than Gorman. And before the game, though, I really did sense this big game atmosphere on the field. The Paolo kids were all fired up. It was electric. The Gorman kids, when Paolo took the field, was barking at them. Not like Rams 49ers where we were going to get a little confrontation at midfield. But it had that big game feel. I think some of the people – I didn't even know the game was on TV, by the way. I show up and I see the TV crew, and I'm like, oh, well, now if you're on the fence to go or not, you know, do you want to park across the street? Do you want to walk across the street? Do you want to pay $3 more to get into the game, right, because they upped the prices to 10, which you tell me is not a big deal. But as somebody who's frugal – maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
At Bishop Gorman, you think putting it to $10 is a big deal?
No. Not Bishop Gorman people. Obviously, they have the three extra dollars. But for average Joe football fan on a Saturday, which, oh, by the way, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Auburn, USC, UCLA, all these big games, you're not going to get the average football fan. And then they find out it's on TV, and they're like, well, that makes up my mind for me.
Yeah, I just feel like those first few years when it was such a big deal, I don't think it was Joe Average showing up. I think it was the communities were really...
I agree with you.
It was a lot, meant a lot more to them. But Yeah, any final thoughts on this game? I mean, it wasn't close. You said they scored in 90 seconds.
Five plays.
Yeah, I mean, had a bunch of – I mean, they probably had, three or four guys that averaged, 10 yards a carry or something like
Shoemaker, that. Jonathan Shoemaker has been a pleasant surprise for Gorman running the ball. You obviously – I know they lost Nate Starks in the offseason, and it was like, uh-oh, Gorman's done. Who's going to be – they're going to have a first-time quarterback in Cunningham, right? Inexperienced wide receivers because they lost Smith and Tillman, and now their one experienced player, the guy with all the offers, this tailback, no longer with the team, who's going to run the ball? Now all of a sudden you got three guys that I think are pretty good or that are playing good. Stewart, Dajay Stewart, Russell Booz, and now Shoemaker, who has been great. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was – very impressive to me. Now, it's easy to run behind that line, but credit to the kid. I think Shoemaker, Booz, Stewart had 102 yards and a touchdown. Booz had two touchdowns, and Shoemaker had 80 and a touchdown. That's a pretty good three-headed monster.
Yeah, I have one question about this kid. I was wondering this when I covered Gorman. Is it Shoemaker or Schumacher?
No clue.
Because they announced Shoemaker, but it's spelled everywhere I've ever seen it spelled like that Schumacher. Is Schumacher.
What about our favorite player on the Gorman team, Chris Lally?
Did he have a good game?
Every game. He's Jacob Littlefield. He makes every tackle. How do you say his last name?
I thought it was Lally.
Apparently it's not. Somebody came up to me at the game on Saturday and corrected me. You know me. Don't tell me how to say somebody's last name because I'm going to screw it up.
Uh-huh. And how's it really said?
I'm no clue. It's okay. Close. We're not far off.
Well, for the record, I've gotten that pronunciation from an official source. It's not like out of it. Yeah. Well, I haven't asked exactly how do you say your name, but I've heard people that should know how to say his name say it that way.
Well, then maybe the guy who told me was wrong.
What if the guy who told you was his dad?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. All right. I just figured was telling you how to pronounce it, it was someone related to him. Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention from the little part you just went on, you said they lost Smith and Tillman. That's ACC Coastal champion Ryan Smith to you.
Yes, I love Ryan Smith. Duke, one of my favorites.
Contributed this year at Duke, which is going to play Florida State.
He redshirted.
He was tweeting about them winning, so I looked up his stats, and he had three or four catches on the year.
Oh, did he? Because I thought he just played in one game, and then they redshirted.
Okay, well, maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, I just know he had a couple catches. Game, and they redshirted. Maybe, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But he still wears his Sun Standout bracelet, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Hasn't taken it off. And Tillman, I saw at the game on Saturday. The Navy puts weight on you because that kid looks like he could win a bodybuilding competition. And Army-Navy this weekend, he's going to get to play in the Army-Navy game. He's a true freshman playing for Navy, which right. I think is pretty cool.
Right. And since we're talking about Duke, I mentioned Shaq Powell, former Sun standout too. I think he's had 40 or 50 carries on the year, kind of their third running back.
But
so,
he's had some touchdowns in the last few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So Smith and Powell are going to represent
Duke
Vegas and Duke.
The last 3 weeks, by the way.
Oof.
I had him against Carolina, and I know you had Carolina.
Yeah,
Got lucky. Every dog has its day, but I had Florida against Florida State. Painful Florida. Florida's awful offensively.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah. Nonetheless, we digress.
Kind of how Reed is going to look against Bishop Gorman.
Yes. So the State game is set. Reed from Sparks, not Reno, coming in to play Bishop Gorman. Sam Boyd Stadium, 107 with the kick. Wear your sunscreen because the sun will be coming. I went in the car at halftime and put sunscreen on Saturday.
It was hot?
Dude, the sun was just the sun parlayed to my forehead. Bad idea.
Well, this is normally the part where we go to the picks. Since there's only one game, I already told you what I think is going to happen. I would probably take Gorman minus 52 in this game.
I was thinking, what would the line be? And
49, maybe? Something like that? I don't think you go over the half-century mark, but it's got to be around there.
I mean, that's 49 is how many touchdowns? 7 touchdowns?
Yeah. I mean, they beat this team 72-28 when they played in the 2011.
And that team had some good players on there.
State championship. And really, it was only 72-28 because Gorman brought in the backups.
Mm-hmm.
And Reed scored a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
And it looks both the teams might not be as good as they were that year, though.
No, I mean, we could, if you wanted to rank Gorman's four teams.
We tried to do this earlier in the year. We disagreed.
Did we?
Yeah.
Who did you say?
Well, no, you said the...
if you
and I love this team. This is probably my favorite team before just ranking them. But you said the best one was Tony's first team, which I adamantly disagree with. They had a bunch of close games in Nevada. They had some great players that went on to play Division One, but there's no – I mean, the program wasn't where it was now,
no
I
doubt.
Think, in that first year.
But they had to play – they were handcuffed by the schedule. They had to play 8 league games, remember? That was when the league had all those teams. Mm-hmm. So you had to play Pahrump, Sierra Vista, Spring Valley, whatever it may be, Clark, Western. So now they're able to go out and play. Listen, the team last year – who did you like, last year's team?
Either last year or 2 years. I think I would have to take last year. You had Starks and Solomon in a senior year.
And those wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, you have to take last year.
Because the 2011 year, the year they beat up on Sparks, Solomon was a junior, obviously great then. Was that Shaq's last year, too?
Yeah.
Okay, and then they have – Shaq was great. Then they got the three-headed monster on the line, Stanley, Strelo, and Scoggins. College guys, right?
Right. I think you can make a case for either of those two.
But would you at least agree defensively that first year? No doubt about it.
I mean, good, but I still think they got better after that. They gave up some points that year to some in-state teams, I feel like.
Because they had, remember, Alex Turner, Jalen Grimble was on that team,
right.
Obviously.
But, yeah, offensively, we can agree that team was way behind. Here's my last thought for the week. I'm glad we started on this topic so you can remind me. Am I crazy to think, you look at it right now, Liberty, like you said earlier, losing some really good players. Polu, one of them. You mentioned someone else, and now
Newman.
Okay. But just about everywhere else, they have a lot coming back, and they have a lot of young talent. I think they're going to need to find a quarterback that can do some of the things Newman did. But I've kind of got faith with where the Liberty program is. They're going to solve that. Someone's going to step up and pull the trigger. Could next year be the closest gap we've seen in a long time? Because Gorman loses a lot of guys. I mean, they have a whole bunch of seniors they're relying on. Maybe Liberty could sneak up and be about on that level next year.
Okay, well, two things. One is I think Liberty is going to have an easy time getting to the region again because Green Valley loses. They return Lake and Lopez, basically, right?
I still think they're going to be pretty good, though. But lose a lot of pieces.
Dude, anybody would love to have Lopez as a starting point. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be the best quarterback in town next year.
Sun standout quarterback.
No, he'll be our preseason quarterback, no doubt about it. Don't want to give away the whole team, but that's a shoe-in.
That was easy.
Okay, now Coronado, remember, was real young.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they're going to be well prepared. Are they going to be able to match up physically with some teams?
Right. Right.
Vegas obviously will be decent, be Swenson's senior year, for good or for worse. Canyon, who knows what they're going to do or if Hunky's going to hang around. I mean, I think Liberty's going to have an easy route to get to the game. Right. And I think Gorman might have an easy route too.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I just think maybe the gap could be closing before our eyes. Disappointing we didn't get Liberty, Gorman this year. But, just to sign off, no disrespect to Reed. Yeah. Check LasVegasSun.com for all your state championship coverage. Ray Brewer will be there bringing you scenes from the massacre.
Next week we talk hoops, so I know we'll lose a few listeners.
Hey, stick around. We love hoops. Bishop Gorman is going for third straight title in hoops.
Clark beat Bishop Gorman Saturday in a scrimmage.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Full health?
Well, Robothan could have played, but they held him out. And then their starting two guard is on the football team, Oben Okiki, if I said that right, hopefully.
Okay, so a little bit of an asterisk, but Clark's going to be real good.
Clark is going to be real good. Desert Pond is going to be real good. I'd love to see them play a best-of-7 series, Clark and DP for state.
Canyon Springs, Centennial, Arborview, all going to be exciting to watch. So we'll have a lot to talk about basketball. Stick around if you are so inclined. Prep sports now, one last time this football season.